What's going on, everyone? And good morning. Today is Monday, October 14th, a victory Monday, although I know it does not feel that way to many. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And like I said, yes, the Eagles did win on Sunday 20-16 over the Cleveland Browns. And no, I know it doesn't feel great for you guys. I've seen the reaction on Twitter. I've listened to WIP. I understand that was a frustrating win. And look, I sat there and watched the whole thing. I talked to the players and the coaches after. I get it. It was not a pretty win. I do think with Dallas getting smoked the way they did by Detroit, Washington losing, you know, maybe it makes it feel a little better. But I know that when the Eagles play like that, it is just not a good day. And the unfortunate reality is they've been playing like that a lot recently. So let's get into what we always do on the Daily Pods, what to look out for today, an update on all the injuries. And I want to play some audio for you from the locker room and the podium after the Eagles win over the Cleveland Browns and really dive deeper into the whole Nick Sirianni yelling at the fans, kid at the podium thing that happened after the postgame pod for me and James. And of course, we will be doing a pod later in the week talking all about that. But let's start off on the schedule. Nick Sirianni should speak to the media today, his normal day after press conference. We'll be interesting to see what he says now after getting a chance to watch the tape, after getting a chance to probably prepare a little bit more of a statement on, you know, the chirping back and forth with the fans that went super viral after the game. So Nick Sirianni will speak. I believe it should be around 3 o'clock, but it moves quite a bit. So I would just keep an eye out for the Nick press conference. I'm sure we'll have that streamed on 94 WIP. And of course, tweeting out tweeting out all the good quotes from it. All right, let's get into the injury report. So the Eagles go into the game really healthy. All 22 of their starters healthy. AJ plays awesome. Devontae plays awesome. Lane's really good. But of course, they leave the game with three injuries to pretty key players. So the most serious of the three seems to be to Jordan Mailata. Jordan Mailata left the game, was limping off badly, had to be helped off the field. Afterwards, was seen walking around on crutches at the link, had a pretty heavy sleeve on his one leg. To me, this looks like he's out at least 1 week. I mean, I think I would be shocked if he plays next Sunday against the Giants. And I think you're probably looking at a few weeks. Now, you know, we've seen what the Eagles' record has been without Lane Johnson. We'll see how that is with Jordan Mailata. Fred Johnson really, really struggled the one game he went in. Now you're asking him to go to the other side. So we'll see how he can play next week against the Giants, if indeed Mailata can't play. At this point, I think you have to hope this isn't an IR situation. You know, again, crutches, sleeve, could barely walk. Not good for a hamstring injury. So fingers crossed that hopefully the news on Mailata is a good one, is good news, and that we get that today. Dallas Goedert also left with a hamstring injury. No update on him. Didn't get a chance to see him in the locker room. Unclear where he is at. And then Darius Slay, a knee injury, didn't return to the game. So three starters leave the game with leg injuries. You're going up against the Giants on Sunday. You know, I don't think the Eagles can take any opponent for granted right now. So you can't just sit there and say that should be an easy win. But losing Mailata, Goedert, and Slay, if you had to do it for one game, it probably is, you know, not the worst to have it against the Giants. So that's the latest on the Eagles injury news. Now let's get into some audio from the locker room after the game. First, let's just get into the Nick Sirianni chirping at the fans thing. So for those that maybe didn't see, maybe you turned Twitter off right after the game and said, I can't read anything more about this. At the end of the game, Nick Sirianni, as the clock was winding down, Fox showed a clip of him walking towards the stands, I would say, on the Eagle sideline. So the seats that are behind the sideline where the players are. And essentially, like, I don't want to say mocking, but like kind of saying, oh, like, you know, putting his hand to his ear. I don't know what he said, but you can imagine him saying something like, not booing now, are you? You know, kind of playful, had a bit of a smile on his face. The players around him seemed to be loving it. Brandon Graham was laughing. And that's what happened. And obviously, the clip went viral, and fans are really, really upset about it. As you can see, if you log back on to Twitter, and I'm sure that the callers at WIP will not feel good about it. So Nick was asked about it after the game. First two questions were about that. First one is, do you have anything to say about it, essentially? And he just said, excited to get the win. I asked him, what were fans saying to him during the game? He said, just excited to get a win. But then he did later on talk more about maybe why he was so emotional. And I thought it was a pretty interesting answer. So here's what Nick had to say about showing more emotion in the game on Sunday.
I was having fun, and I kind of got some feedback from the guys, is the sense of like, we need you back, Nick. We need your energy. We need your focus. We need your, like, I've gotten that from a couple players, and you know, when I'm operating and having fun, I think that breeds to the rest of the football team. You know, if I want the guys to celebrate and be themselves after big plays, then I should probably do that myself, right? Now there's times for that, and there's times not for that. I have to have wisdom and discernment of when to do that and when not to do that. But, you know, I think 21, I was kind of talking back and forth with 21 and 0. I think Newsom and Denzel Ward are phenomenal football players. And you know, Denzel Ward made a really good play there. I told Jacob that he's only allowed to get jerseys of players on other teams that are just superstars. Like, I don't want to see him with, like, mediocre player. Like, he can get a Denzel Ward jersey. I'll let him do that, because that guy's a phenomenal football. That guy is a phenomenal football player. I had played college football with a bunch of guys from Nordonia where he went to high school. And so just got a lot of respect for him, and that's out of fun. And Rodney is the other guy. You know, obviously, I love Rodney. Man, Rodney means a lot to me. You know, I think back about the Rodney talking to our football team in 2000. I actually felt like, I think I said something today or this week, how Rodney said something in 2021. And I have so much for Rodney McLeod. I have so much respect and gratitude towards him. And so he was talking to me. I was talking back to him. It was just all out of fun.
So he was definitely more emotional. You know, obviously he got into it, a little bit of a back and forth with two Browns cornerbacks. It was Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom kind of chirping back and forth. Greg Newsom had to be held back at one point. I don't think he was going to like attack Sirianni, but he had to be pulled back from like kind of talking trash with them to get back focused in on the game. So what you hear there is Nick kind of say that players want him to be more emotional and that players want him to go back to acting like himself. So a couple takeaways from that. One, well, first, actually, let me do this. Let me play Jalen Hurts talking about Sirianni, because Jalen Hurts was asked about it, and he said he wasn't really clear about what clip they're talking about, but he did talk about Nick, his emotions, and what the team wants from him. So here's what Jalen had to say about Nick Sirianni and acting emotional on the sideline.
I don't know who else said it. I know I spoke to him. You know, and it's just you know, a reassurance of, you know, we trust who you are, we trust where you are as a coach, and we know we can build with you. And so it's about doing it together. It's about doing it together. You know, and I think for him it's really, I think any leader, it's about a vision and trusting in that vision, you know, and he's done a really good job of being able to have conversations and honestly, Bill, try and map things out, you know, and some things take time. But it's a group effort from everybody, and everybody has to dominate their box. Everybody has to respect their role, accept their role, and give their best. And so I'm excited for him and his growth and continue to see where he's going. And I think it'll continue to help our football team.
So this kind of just comes down to what you believe, right? Because I know fans are mad about that clip. They don't like when he acts like that on the sideline. But if players truly want him to act like that, if players are going to him and saying, hey, man, we want the old Nick back, then I don't see what the problem with it would be. Like, I understand the public perception part of it. And look, part of his job, much like it's part of Jalen's job, is to act in the public in a way that doesn't cause issues, right? Like, we talk so much about this with Jalen and his answers on Nick. Even if he has to lie, then he just has to be more complimentary of Nick because it causes less of a scene. And Nick and Jalen has started to be more complimentary of Nick, and it's been praised by me. And I think that answer right there was also a really good answer. So there is a public-facing part of this where Nick, it is just not worth it for him to cause these issues for himself. It's just not worth it. That being said, if the players like him to act like that, and the players are asking him to show more emotion, and the players are saying, we want you to go back to the old you, then that is Nick's job. Like, Nick's job is to manage that locker room. Nick's job is not to do the X's and O's on offense. Nick's job is not to make sure the punts aren't blocked on field goals. Now, ultimately, he's responsible for all that. But his job is to delegate those responsibilities and manage the team. That is Nick's job. And if managing the team means acting that way because the players like it, then I can't have a big problem with it. Like, I swear, I have not talked to a single player on or off the record that doesn't like Nick Sirianni. They like playing for him. They like talking with him. They like interacting with him. People in the building really like Nick. And so while a lot of people look at that and go, you know, how can this guy be a head coach? How can this guy act like that? Players and people in the building like it. And I think one thing that is developing, and maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not, not all players and all coaches are going to feel exactly the same. So you can't really put a huge blanket over all of them, right? But one thing that is developing, I think, is this team, this group, they are starting to get a little bit of a us against them mentality when it comes to the fact that they are a heavily criticized team. Like, they hear the fans booing during the game. They hear the media talking about them, asking questions that imply they're not that good. Like, they hear all that. And so when Nick chirps back at the fans, we don't like it. And, like, I understand that part of it. But the players do. Like, look at that video. Brandon Graham is laughing. The players are, like, smiling when he's doing that. They enjoy, I think, like, proving the fans that booed them all game during that game wrong. That's the vibe I get. I think they feel people don't believe in them. And when they go out and win, they enjoy throwing it back in the faces of the people who didn't believe in them. And is that a great mentality? No, probably not. But I think that is very different than this team not believing in Nick or Nick not being a good head coach, because the numbers are on Nick's side. We can think whatever we want if Nick is a coach. And trust me, I'm going to be critical about the job he's done in a minute, but we're strictly talking about the sideline stuff. Nick Sirianni as a head coach of the Eagles, his record, he is 4-0 coming out of a bye, first of all. He's 37-19 as head coach of the Eagles. His 66% winning percentage is 15th in NFL history among 201 qualifying head coaches. It's the second highest among all active head coaches. So when you're Nick and you're hearing all game, fire Nick, getting booed, I understand wanting to go back and be like, oh, are you booing now? Like, oh, we won the game. Now, the issue is it wasn't an impressive win. And the issue is he's never, ever, ever going to win that battle of public opinion. But I understand the emotion of it. And I think the players feel that emotion as well, which is why they like Nick. And that, it really comes down to what you value. Is it important that Nick represents the franchise in a way where all the fans like him and, you know, they feel an attachment to him and it's a business? And, like, is that important to Jeffrey Lurie? There's that aspect to it. But the other aspect to it is getting the players in the locker room to like him, to and respect him and to want to play for him and to like having him as their head coach. That's an important part of it too. And stuff like what he does on the sideline, that stuff matters, and it makes him more popular in the locker room. So what we will debate all week is, should he be doing it? And I understand all that. But there doesn't seem to be much debate in the locker room. The players like him. The coaches like him. They just do. They just do. So this will be an interesting topic all week to get into, but I wanted to play the Sirianni and Hurts audio for you guys. So here's another piece of Sirianni audio I wanted to play, and this is where it gets into what I believe the real issue with the Nick Sirianni Eagles is. Here he is talking about not wanting to focus on the slow starts, and he definitely gets very defensive about it. So here's Sirianni on the slow starts.
I guess that means we didn't work at all in it, because y'all are making a big deal about it. I mean, is it like, guys, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fix it. We've known how to score in the past. Like, we get it. You guys have a job to do, and you're going to fixate on one thing, and you're going to be like, oh, they haven't started fast, or they haven't turned the ball over. Like, we got it. Like, we're going to do everything we can do to fix it. Like, and I don't want that to be in their heads. That's why I'm basically telling you guys, all right, we got it. We'll figure it out. And so sometimes you get things in your head and you continue and it kind of, you know, works there. But, like, the defense started their ass off. The defense started their ass off. It was 10-0 to start the football game off, and the defense didn't let up a play. And so they played their ass off. So they started fast, right? And we'll get it figured out on offense. We will get it figured out on offense. Do you think that was funny?
So this is where I think Nick is just dead wrong. The slow starts is not a media-driven narrative. The slow starts is reality. They are not scoring to start games, and you can't downplay that. Yes, the defense was awesome to start, for sure. Defense very good today to start the game. Didn't allow a touchdown all game. We'll get into that in a minute. But the slow starts on offense are hurting this team. If you look back since week one of last year, I believe they've scored double digits in the first quarter two times, and one of those times, seven of them were a defensive touchdown. If you look at the last 23 games this team has played, they've been winning after the first quarter in nine of them, and they've been trailing in seven of them, and then tied in seven more. So 14 of 23 times, they have not ended the first quarter by winning, and they have not gone out and played sharp football to start the game. They have not gone out and sent a message to start. So Nick can say we're focusing on it too much, and it's not like, it is a big deal. It does matter that they're not starting these games quickly. You don't want to always be playing behind in the NFL. You don't always want to come out and have a sloppy start to the game. The first drives to start games have been really bad for this team. The first quarters to start games have been really bad from this team from the offensive perspective. They're the only team in the NFL that hasn't scored a point. So Nick can say, you know, I know deep down he knows it's a big deal. And I know they're trying to fix it, but you can hear in the answer that he's tired of hearing about it. But this, he has no right not to be tired hearing about it. It matters, and it's fair questions about it, and it's going to impact their ability to win games. So when we talk about Nick Sirianni and why people are mad at him after that game, the first part that we talked about with the chirping and the fan, that stuff is all superficial to me. It's fun to talk about in a weird way, but like it doesn't really matter. This stuff does matter. The slow starts, the fact that they don't look like a well-coached team the majority of the time, the fact that they are not beating teams like they should, like the Browns, convincingly. They could have lost that game easily. The Browns kicker makes a field goal. There's no penalty on that Deshaun Watson run where he gets into the 5 or 6 yard line. They get pushed back 15 yards. Like, there's a real world. The Jalen pass to AJ down the field, there's a real world where this doesn't go well, right? Because they did not come out and play well, and they did not look like a well-prepared team. And the players certainly hold blame in that. But Nick is the head coach, and it all falls on Nick ultimately. While it's not his responsibility to scheme things up and all that, and like his responsibility is to manage the team, his responsibility is also to make sure that they are a well-coached, well-oiled football team. And they have not looked like that in a really long time. So there will be focus on the off-the-field stuff with him. But the on-the-field concern, I think, is really where the issue is with Nick. So the other piece of audio I wanted to play for you was about Nick Sirianni having his kids at the podium. Nick was asked why he had his kids at the podium, and here's what he had to say.
I have so many memories of being on the practice field. I love football. I love football so much. Like, I just told the guys this, like the way I try to, my vision for the football team, our accountability, our teamwork, our toughness, our, Mike, I appreciate you asking me this question, our detail, like, it's how I'm trying to raise my family. Like, I love this game so much. It teaches so many people so many different things, like of teamwork. This is the greatest team sport there is. And so I have so many, my mom and dad are at every single game. I mean, every single home game, they drive the 6 hours to be here. Like, this game is why me and my brothers are, like, I'm going to get emotional. This game is why my brothers and I are so close, and my dad and I are so close, and my mom is a football mom. Like, this game means so much to me, and it's like... And it, so tell me your question one more time, but like, why do I have them here? Because I have so many visions of what made me love this game. Being at Southwestern High School when I was there, these guys' age, whether I'm at practice or whether I'm the ball boy on the side, and my memories of them, and like, you know, AJ came to one of his baseball games. Like, these guys are gonna love AJ for their life. Jalen gave him a jersey last year that you have in their room. Like, I want these, like, and so, like, it's so important to me that, you know, Taylor will be the only one that doesn't play football, but it's so, unless you want to, baby. All right, but it's so important to me that they fall in love with this game the way I fall in love with this game. And so, like, and so that's why they're up here. Like, I can't bring them, they have school when we practice. Like, it's not like high school football. Like, they, they are able to, this is the moments I can, like, we're going to go on the field after this and play catch together. Like, these are the moments that they're going to remember, football games. And like, so Mike, I really appreciate you asking this question, because that's why I bring them up here on these, so they can get a taste of what I used to get when I was a little, and Mike Sirianni used to get, and Jay Sirianni used to get when my dad was a high school football coach growing up. Do this.
So much like the Nick chirping at the fans thing, the kids at the podium also became a thing. Oh, he's using the kids to shield himself from tough questions. He's bringing them out there because they didn't play well. Like, maybe, but ultimately, listen to that answer. Like, that stuff matters. Like, Nick, here's what I will say about Nick, and this will be my last takeaway from the Sirianni press conference. Watching the reaction to that game and watching the reaction on Twitter, and watching then Nick at the podium, it was like two different worlds. Nick's up there, he has his kids, he's smiling, they won, like, you know, he's talking, he's almost crying because of how much he loves football. And on Twitter and in the fan base, he's getting absolutely blasted for how poorly his team played. On one hand, obviously you sit there and go, this, I mean, it's a bit delusional, right? On the other hand, I truly admire Nick being himself. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't have to do things a certain way. Much like I admire Jalen being himself, but Jalen also has to handle questions about Nick better. And there are times when, as a leader, he needs to do things different. And it seems like he's doing that this year. Nick has to do some things different, right? When it comes to interacting with players and all those things. But in terms of just like being yourself and believing in what you believe in, I mean, it is clear Nick is not changing. He's not. He is who he is. He really values family. He loves football. He loves connecting to people. That is who Nick is. That's who he is. Now, he has to have the team coach better, for sure. And that could be Nick's downfall, because ultimately, it does feel like this thing's kind of broken, and it's probably not going to get fixed until there is a major change, and that's probably going to come at head coach. But Nick is going to go down swinging in what he believes in. Like, we can mock all the dog mentality, core fundamentals, emotional connection. That is truly what Nick believes in. And so when he brings his kids to the podium and he talks about how AJ Brown went to one of his kids' baseball games, how Jalen Hurts gave a jersey to one of his kids, and now that jersey is framed in the kids' room. That stuff really matters to Nick, and I think it matters to the players as well. So will Nick end up being a good enough head coach to get this team back to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? I don't know. But in that locker room and in that facility, he is himself, and he does truly have the support of the people in there. So we will see what Monday brings. It'll certainly be an exciting Monday, I am sure, we're talking about this. But on the other side, I want to talk about one of the biggest plays in the game, which is the Jalen Hurts pass to A.J. Brown to seal the game. And then I also want to talk about the defense and give them some credit, which was a really good game. So first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so one of the biggest plays of the game, and certainly one of those hold your breath moments, was end of the game. Eagles are trying to kill clock. They need one more first down to kill the game off, secure the win. But if they don't get a third down, the Browns get the ball back and they have a chance to go down for it to win the game. Jalen drops back, third down, throws the ball up down the sideline to A.J. Brown. 50-50 ball, A.J. comes down with it, ball game. Afterwards, Jalen is asked about that play, and here's what he had to say.
The throws to A.J., 22-yard touchdown, 40-yard completion at the end of the game, sealed it. They designed to go to him in that situation.
It's an alert in my mind, yeah. So when you alert something, it always has the potential to be number one. That's not necessarily the guy that is drawn up to go to, but everybody's accessible.
You feel like you just got to get it close to him and he's going to come down with it?
I mean, he's really good at catching the deep ball. He tracks it well, knows how to use his body well, and he's very strong and. And I think he's gotten faster, too, so he made some great catches.
We've seen before you, AJ, had checked the plays, assessed the late games, sometimes not so much. Is that one of those cases?
It was. It worked.
So this play reminded me a lot of the deep pass to Seattle last year, where I believe that one fell, or no, it was intercepted. And it was, why are you throwing it deep like that? What are you doing? Why are you throwing the ball there? And Nick got absolutely roasted for it. And it was, well, we're trying to get a pass interference call. And what really ended up happening and what ended up coming out was Jalen and AJ audible to it. I believe Jalen and AJ also audibled to a deep pass to Washington last year where they scored, but I think they scored too quickly and that became a thing. So here's what I'll say about that. If you want to get a Sixers analogy in there, sometimes you do have to trust process over result, and that is not a good process. Throwing a deep ball like that, a 50-50 ball to AJ in that spot, it could fall incomplete. It could get intercepted. I mean, it's just not a great decision. But it is also one of those classic, you know, watching Michael Jordan or Kobe, and it's like, no. Okay, nice shot. Or like, oh, don't take that. All right, man, he's clutch. Like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. And Jalen threw a good enough ball to get it to him, and AJ came down with the catch. So I don't think that is a play you want to do 10 out of 10 times in that spot, because a decent portion of those times, the ball falls incomplete and the defense is in a tough spot. But for Jalen to audible into that play and to make it happen, yeah, I mean, that's why you pay them a combined, you know, $360 million or whatever it is, because it was a special play in a big moment. It was a risky play. But there are risky plays all the time from Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and they come down with it, and they make those plays, and so it's viewed as a great play. So definitely risky to audible into it, but a good play by AJ and Jalen. All right, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, because I thought in the postgame pod we talked about it a little bit, but I don't think they fully got the credit they deserve. Now, you should obviously start, or I should say me, should obviously start by saying the Browns' offense is really bad. Deshaun Watson, really bad. But the Eagles defense did what they're supposed to do. It reminds me a lot of a Jonathan Gannon game from when he was here in 21 and 22, when they would play bad quarterbacks and he would absolutely annihilate them. Here's what the Eagles defense did to the Browns. 0 touchdowns allowed, 4 sacks on the day. The secondary played well. Bryce Huff had a sack. The Browns were 0 for 1 in the red zone and they were 3 for 12 on third down. And at the end of the game, when they had to hold him out of the end zone, they did it. And they held him to a field goal down 4 instead of them tying the game. Now, again, the Browns aren't good. And Deshaun Watson was better in the second half. But they won that game today because of their defense. It wasn't because of the offense. Obviously, Jalen and AJ made some great plays. But they won that game because the defense didn't allow Cleveland to get anything going at all. Cleveland's been bad all year. The Eagles' defense made sure they were bad on Sunday as well. So, credit to Vic Fangio. Credit to Bryce Huff. Credit to the defensive line. That was a bad offensive line they were going up against. But it was still an offensive line that they went out and dominated. So, that certainly won't be what people talk about all week. It'll be about Nick and the fans. It'll be about them not playing well and all that. But the defense did come out and play really well. And when Nick defends a defense by saying they dominated and Jalen defends a defense by saying they dominated, they mean that. Like, they know they won the game because of that defense. So, thank you to everybody for listening. Truly means the world, as I always say, that you guys listen, but especially after game day, because there's so many options out there, so many great people doing a good job, and it truly means the world that you guys take the time to listen to what me and James have to say. So we will talk to you guys throughout the week. Try to enjoy the victory Monday, although it is a bit of a bummer of a win. Thank you guys for listening, and as always, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.